read a couple of verses to start off with here in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's how we do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We do live in, probably the most distracted age ever. But we need to remember that we need to be on focus with the very things that God has put in your heart and he spoke to you to do. Amen. Stay on focus. And how do you do that? With your eyes upon the Lord. In the first verse there, it describes, it's really giving us the picture of a race. And you know you couldn't run a race. It's been a long time since I've run any races. But I do know this much about it. You can't do it if you're distracted. You have to have your eye on the prize, on the end of the race, if you're going to be able to accomplish what you set out to accomplish. So that's the image that's given here in verse number 1. But it says, don't be distracted. Set aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. And the only way you can do that as a Christian is if your focus is upon Jesus. You have to get your eyes upon the Lord, and don't allow anything to distract you from the most important thing, looking unto Jesus. It was actually Spurgeon that as a young boy, I don't think he was even 20 years old. If I remember when I read this, he was maybe 17, 18 years old, wasn't a preacher. He had been raised up most of his life in church, but he wasn't a Christian. And one night he set out, it was a January night, he set out on his way to church, and the weather was so bad, the snow was so deep, and it was so cold, that instead of walking the distance to his church, he stopped at another church. And when he got there, just a handful of people that were there that night, and he went in. The preacher didn't even make it that night to that church. And he sat down in that service kind of dejected and discouraged. And one of the laymen in the church, who wasn't even prepared to say anything or to preach, he just got up and he read the scripture. Here was the scripture, Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved. And it said that the layman just read the verse and repeated it several times because he really didn't have anything to add to it. And then he looked back in the room and he saw this young boy, Spurgeon, sitting there. And he said, young man, you look awfully discouraged. Why don't you look to Jesus and be saved? And Spurgeon said, I looked and I got saved. I looked and I got saved. And that's all it took. Just one look toward Jesus, and my, what an amazing thing. What an amazing conversion in a situation that didn't hold much promise at all, but yet God saved that preacher, that man who became such an influence in the lives of so many people. You've got to keep your eyes upon the Lord. That's how you start out in your Christian walk, with your eyes upon the Lord. You've got to turn aside from every weight, every sin, everything else, and look to Jesus. That's how you get saved. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's how you get saved. You turn your attention to Jesus and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the way that you stay saved and you remain faithful to the Lord is you keep that singleness of focus upon the Lord and upon the things of the Lord. You'll notice that was in the life of Jesus. Notice the many times that he used the term, I must. I must. He understood his purpose. He understood the call. He understood what he needed to do. And he wasn't going to be distracted by anyone. I must be about my Father's business. That was his message when he was just a young boy. I must needs go through Samaria. That was the way that was out of the way. It was the unlikely pathway. But I must needs go through Samaria because there was going to be this encounter with this woman at the well that needed to meet Jesus, needed the living water. Amen. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. There's always this sense of urgency and focus that Jesus had about his life and his ministry. Matthew 12 and 46 is an incident in the ministry of Jesus when his mother and his brothers came. It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now there's a, you know, that's a big spiritual lesson there to talk about. But the obvious thing that happened there is that he was not going to even be distracted by his own family from doing what he was sent to do. And so the question that I have for you tonight is, what is it that is distracting you from your attention upon the Lord, upon the things of God, the things that are really important? As I said, this is an age of distraction. I am many things, but I am certainly not a multitasker. I am not that at all. I am a one-focused type person. And if I'm on one task and you distract me from that task or from that thought, I am just messed up. If I don't have notes, if I don't have things written down, then I'm not going to be able to get a lot done through the day because I'm a one-tracker. A lot of men are one-trackers. And if our attention is on the right thing, and certainly if it's upon the call of God, the will of God, our eyes are upon the Lord and upon the things that really matter, that's the thing that is so important. Distractions. What about the distractions of your life? What are the things that the enemy is using to try to distract your focus away from your walk with the Lord? Do you realize how difficult in this age it is even to spend enough time in the Word of God and to spend enough time in the presence of God? Why is it that almost every service, people are scattered hither and yon, gone here, gone there, doing this, doing that? And a lot of it I know may be important, necessary things, but I think a lot of times people are just distracted from the things that are most important. Don't really have your focus upon things that really, really matter, the most important thing. Oh, it's an easy age to be distracted. And if you're not careful, you set aside valuable things, the Word of God, the things of God, the work of the ministry, the work of the church. The ongoing of the ministry and the work of the church is just kind of set aside, and we forsake things that are absolutely important. Amen. What is it that's distracting you from the things of God? Whatever it is, you need to purpose in your heart that you are going to look to Jesus and you're going to look to the things of God and the will of God. Amen. Well, we live in the age of media. This is one of the most distracting things in your life. Yesterday, I was up at the hospital with the Helton family, and they were talking to me about my, about their situation, about Ronnie's situation. And I mean, it's a grave circumstance. And my phone buzzed. It just kept buzzing. And I was about ready to throw it out the window. It was driving me crazy. And they even heard it. And they said, if you need to get that, go ahead. If you need to get it, I said, I don't need to get it. This is what's important here, what we're talking about right now. This is an age of distraction. Amen. Amen. You hear about and read about tragic accidents because people were trying to drive and text at the same time. There's all these warnings about don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be distracted from the road. Don't be distracted from your purpose. Even walking. Even just walking down the sidewalk. People, and I've had to sidestep and walk around people because they were texting and they would have run right into me if I hadn't have paid attention to what was going on. This is an age of distraction. Sometimes there are good things that distract us. It's easy to have. And sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. And you can get involved in a lot of good things that distract you from the most important thing. And the most important thing is your walk with the Lord, your relationship with Jesus Christ, the things of God, the Word of God, worship and prayer and the things that are important. And we live in such an urgent time that the enemy throws all kinds of things in our way to distract us from the most important thing. Many times, the good is the enemy of better things and of the best things. And we're doing a lot of good things, but we're not really focusing upon the most important thing. And as a result, we're powerless. As a result, we can't get much done in the work of the kingdom of God because it's not wasted time that you spend in the presence of God. You may think, I've got so much work for God that I've got to get done. But you're not wasting your time when you're spending time in the Word and in prayer and building up yourself in your most holy faith. No, you're just strengthening yourself in the Spirit so that you can really be effective to accomplish what the Lord wants us to be able to accomplish. So we have to look to the Lord. We have to remember that our lives are to be an extension of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was the body of Christ while he was in the flesh walking upon this earth. But he ascended into heaven and he delegated to you and me his work. And now we're the body of Christ. Now we're the ones that are carrying on the work that Jesus once carried on in this world. And we can't get distracted by a lot of things. We need to keep our focus and to remember that this is really the most important thing, that we are doing the work of God by the power of the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same thing, the same power that equipped Jesus to do the things that he did while he is on was on earth carrying out his earthly ministry is that same Spirit that has been provided for every one of us. And that same Spirit will quicken or make alive our own physical bodies by the Spirit of God so that we can do what he's commanded us to do. Amen. We can't get it done, though, if we're distracted from spiritual things. Amen. We just cannot get done. You see, when you are used of God to be active in whatever work or ministry that he's given to you to do, those spiritual gifts that he's given to you that are anointed by the power of the Spirit of God cause you to be able to be the extension of the body of Christ in this world right now. Amen. And that's the only way you're going to be effective. And without it, we're nothing. Without him, we are nothing. And we're not going to be able to get anything accomplished. Everything else is going to be natural, normal, self-ability. And that's just not going to get you very far when it comes to the work of the kingdom. Amen. You can't do it. not by your own strength, not by your own power. It is only by the Spirit of God that you're going to be able to do the work that He's commanded us to do. And you won't be able to do it if there is not time spent building up yourself in your most holy faith. Time spent looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, the one that equips us and empowers us to do the work that needs to be done in these last days. It's only by the power of the Spirit resting upon our lives. What is it that's distracting you? What is it? A lot of things in this world today to distract us from things that are most important. I can't think of anything more important than the work of the kingdom of God in this world. And what part are you playing in that? Are you distracted by things that don't really matter? Not really important. And as I said, this is a world where, sometimes you feel like you're being pulled in every direction and all kinds of things that are going on. And if you'll just stop and evaluate, I think you'll quickly realize that there are a lot of things that are stealing your time, grabbing your interest, and pulling you away from the things that are most important. Amen. Your walk with the Lord. What was the ministry that Jesus was involved in that we need to be involved in? Well, He condensed it in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. When He stood up, this was as He was beginning His earthly ministry. He stood up in the temple and He read from the book of Isaiah. When He opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, if Jesus depended upon the Spirit of God, how much more are we dependent upon the Spirit? Amen. How much more are we dependent upon the anointing and the power of the Spirit to rest upon our lives? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to, number one, preach the gospel to the poor. Now, I don't think that's just talking about people who have no money or no means. It's speaking of people, all kinds of people, who have no resources. They don't even have any spiritual resources. They have no one to point them in the right way. They have no good news or no good things going on in their life. It's nothing but hopelessness. And what they need to hear from you and from me is good news. Good news. And that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about hope. They need to know that Jesus came to bring them hope in their desperate situation. That's really what evangelism is all about, that we are offering hope to those that are hopeless, no matter what their situation might be. Poor in spirit, poor as far as their economic situation. It just means that their resources are gone. They have nowhere to turn. Their circumstance is hopeless. And that's the kind of person that needs to hear some good news. Amen. Amen. So the anointing of the Spirit of God is resting upon Jesus and also should be resting upon us. Our focus needs to be upon things like this. The things that Jesus thought were the priority of His life, I think, should also certainly be the priority of our lives. Amen. Those things that really matter. People matter. People in their needs matter. People in their desperate situation really matters. Preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All you have to do is look around. All you have to do is spend a little time and take notice of people in our world around us, and you're going to see all kinds of people that are overwhelmed with their life circumstance, especially if they don't have the Lord in their life, then they are overwhelmed. It's like a prison to them. They cannot find an answer. They can't get set free from the circumstance that they're in. And that's what Jesus said. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. I've come to minister to those that circumstances are out of their control. I tell you, there are so many people that their lives are in such a mess and they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this problem that I'm in. Many of them are sincere and they're genuine. They're honest before God, and they're just in a trap, and they don't know how to dig themselves out of the mess that they're in. That's where the gospel comes in. The gospel is like a healing salve. It's poured into the lives of people. Jesus said, I was anointed to preach the gospel. I was anointed to heal those that were brokenhearted. Hallelujah. As I said, you don't have to look very far to see people in that kind of circumstance. Amen. They're in the hospitals. They're in the nursing homes. They're in the jails. They're all over the place. Everywhere you look, you can see people in their desperation. And some would say, well, they've made their decisions. They're living the life they're living because of their decision. No, they're blinded. They're blinded. They're blinded by their sin. They're blinded by the God of this world. They think they're trying to do right. They think they're doing right, but they're just digging themselves in deeper into hopelessness. They need some help. They need some healing. And that comes from the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're all distracted by everything else, you know, pleasures and good times, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, or I want to buy this, or I want to involve in this activity, and we spend up all of our time and our money and our energy on selfish things, personal things, good times, and we forget about the fact that we have been called of God. And we have been distracted. I think the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is distracted. And so we can't pray like we should, and we don't spend time in the presence of God. We don't value spiritual experiences like we should value them because we are distracted. But our eyes need to be upon the Lord. And we need to be carrying on the ministry of Jesus, the same ministry that he was involved in. Gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, preaching deliverance to the captives. Let me tell you, people in our world right now, they are bound. They are bound by the enemy, bound by the enemy. They have been bruised by the enemy. They have been oppressed. They're broken down. They're hopeless. They're in depression and discouragement. They live in fear and worry. Their lives are miserable because of the trap of the enemy and all that he's doing. We've been called to those people. We have been called to minister to those that are in need, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind. As I said, many people are living in sin, and they're living in despicable, horrible ways. But much of the time, it's because they're so blinded to what's right and blinded to the truth, and they need a deliverance, and they need their eyes opened. And only the power of the gospel can do that, to help them to see the need that they have. Amen. To bring liberty that to them that is bruised, to preach deliverance to captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. All kinds of things that are going on in our world. Behind it all is this demonic age that we're living in. Satan wanting to destroy the futures of young people, the lives and the potential of people. And he's attacking, he's working, he's trying to destroy the lives of people. We've been called to those people. We have a responsibility to those that are blind, to those that are bruised, to those that are in need. That was when Jesus gave this little concise ministry objective for his future ministry that he was getting ready to embark upon. That had been prophesied by Isaiah, and now Jesus reads that prophecy by saying, I'm the fulfillment of that, and I have been anointed to do these things. And then he deputized us. He delegated to us as the church when he ascended into heaven. And so his work is our work. His concern should be our concern. So involve yourself and stay focused. Amen. Stay focused. If you allowed yourself, I mean, it doesn't, not any of us here are without exception. It is so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to allow. And I'm the most easily distracted person. I can be here at the church studying, and I hear, of course, this church makes all kinds of interesting noises when you're here by yourself. This building pops and cracks. We even have flush valves that flush over here by themselves just to scare me, I guess. All kinds of noises go on in this building, all kinds of distractions that go on. The enemy is the author of distraction to keep you off point, off focus. So you have to be determined, just like Jesus was. I must work the works of him that sent me while I was there. I must needs go through Samaria. He was not going to be distracted from his task, from his calling, from his ministry. And the Lord can help us to stay on point. Amen. Stay on point. What is really important? What is really important? And that is that we carry out the ministry as the body of Christ, anointed of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have allowed us, Lord, to be a part of the work of the kingdom. Lord, we do not feel worthy and certainly not capable, but we know, Lord, that you have called us and you have given to every one of us the power of your Spirit, the anointing of your Spirit to rest upon our lives. So, Lord, the work of the church must move forward. We must move to touch the lives of people. We must be involved in the work of the kingdom. God, help us. Please forgive us because we're distracted from the most important things just because we're using up our time, our energy, our money on things that really won't count for the kingdom's sake. Oh, God, help us to remain focused on the things that really matter. Lord, speak this to our hearts tonight. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.